You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
You just heard Whip Striker with Electric Bloodbath. That's from their latest record, Only Filth Will Prevail. That is out, I believe, right now, digitally, and soon, very, very soon, on cassette through Goat Prayer Records. Very, very cool label. So I highly recommend you pick it up. This is a Italian, I don't know what the word, this would be first wave black metal, wouldn't you say?
Black and speed metal, Venom Clone. Basically just more proving points to why every single Venom clone is actually better than Venom.
I want to disagree with you, but I cannot.
I mean, you listen to the first two, maybe three albums, and they're not good. I don't care what anybody says, they're not. Every Venom clone that's out there right now that I can think of off the top of my head, Midnight, Maximum Over Satan, isn't Widower 1-2, this band, Bat, they're all better than Venom, early Venom. They're really just taking what Venom was trying to do and then actually doing it.
And then actually playing their instruments in a way they should be played.
Yeah. Now, once you get towards, like, what's that one album, Primeval? Venom's pretty sweet by that point because they actually can play riffs that are more than three chords.
Yeah, the record they put out, the last two records they put out, I've listened to quite a bit.
They're not bad.
It's not bad, but I think that I would probably rather listen to Bat than...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Bat is incredible.
Agreed. So, I forgot. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. You're Randall Thor. With us is 365 Days of Horror, and this is the Toilet of Hell radio show. Whoopsh, whoosh. You guys are really, really good at that.
I'm not really. It's just 365 that's actually good at it. I just make laser noises.
I'm taking this show on the road.
Yeah, man. One man whip striker. You can open up. That's a fairly hot take that every band that apes Venom is better than Venom.
I mean, it's kind of the Venom is kind of the bar, but the bar is set really low. Like, you know how when you're playing Limbo, and at first the bar is set really high and it's really easy to go under the bar and win? Venom is like first round Limbo. Just walk. You're going to get under there. Just do what you're supposed to do, and you're going to make a better album than Venom did in the early days.
I mean, yeah. Wow. It's scorching hot take. For you folks that don't follow sports.
I'm a big sports fan, so I know all about that. Shouting out whatever first thing that comes to mind and then waiting for everyone to respond and come back to you and increase the clicks and increase the views.
Who's your favorite hot taker?
I kind of hate them all.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the guy who just left ESPN?
Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, he was bad. There was another guy, though. He really loved Tim Tebow, I think.
Huh.
Kind of looked like a mummy.
White guy?
White. They're almost all white.
I would say, well, ESPN, is there any non-white people there?
Stephen A. Smith. Yeah, he's dumb. He's very dumb.
And loud.
Yes. That's fair. Okay. So there's a special theme this week on the site where we're going to be showcasing one spicy hot take per day. I'm not sure if it's me or W that's first up today, the day that you guys are listening to this, but I assure you the take will be hot and it will be metal related and you will get irrationally angry about it. So that's the guarantee.
So can God write a hot take so hot that he can't read it?
You know, maybe. That's a deep ass question, dude.
I immediately was reminded of that stupid taco question people ask about how can God make a taco so hot that
burrito.
I had to apply it to hot take. It's burrito.
It's
okay,
burrito.
It's whatever dish you like.
You know, hot taco doesn't sound right.
No, hot burrito.
Would you not eat a hot taco if it was in front of you, though?
Sure, but I mean, it's with a burrito, it's pretty much like if it's really hot, you're shooting lava down your throat.
I mean,
but if you want to just keep saying hot taco over and over again, that's fine too.
It's almost like Hot Topic, Hot Taco.
I think Hot Taco is opening for Steel Panther, I think.
Yeah, definitely go to a taco chain called Hot Taco.
I would also go see a band called Hot Taco.
If the taco chains, like everybody that worked there wore bondage leather pants and like eyeliner, that would be pretty great.
All right, yeah.
Like taco signs.
I think that'd be awesome.
I'm in agreement on that.
The master of the metal hot take, at least, or at least a hot taker in metal, got to be Phil Labonte, right?
Oh yeah,
without question.
He's truly. I don't know. He never actually talks about metal, though. He just talks about politics, which is the ideal realm for a hot take, I suppose. You can make half the world angry and get clicks from 100% of it by, you know, validating the echo chamber.
Dude, that's what it's all about, is stoking the echo chamber. You just got to fake outrage or genuine outrage. It doesn't matter. And just say something totally bizarre and outrageous that only your side will agree with and will incite the other side, and then the fight begins and it's all fun from there.
Disgusting. Overall, just a disgusting human being. But
fantastic at hot takes.
But fantastic at hot takes. So that this week, I think that we're going to try to take some notes from him and bring you the hottest of the hot.
I found one of his hot takes on his Twitter, if you'd like to hear it.
Please.
So for those that don't know, Phil Labonte has a serious problem with feminism. Not just like he doesn't like it, like he's virulently angry at just the thought of it. So he subtweeted at We Need Feminism, and I can't see what it is now, but it just says friendly reminder. And he responded with friendly reminder. If you're not fucking me and I'm not fucking you, I don't fucking care. STFU. And this guy is an adult human being saying this.
Wow.
I'll repeat it. He is an adult human being.
You say he's an adult, but he's yet to develop the secondary sexual characteristics of a fucking mustache. So, you know, who knows?
I heard he has tiny hands as well. I found another one on the feminism topic only 6 hours ago. Literally, feminism is cancer. That's it. Just simple to the point.
You can't argue that, can you, libtard?
This is great. I'm looking at his Twitter feed right now. Wow, he just recently followed a woman named Zoe Lane. Let's see.
It might be a real porn star. It might not be a porn bot.
This appears to be a real porn star who says, "I'm just a young Kentucky girl wanting to get fucked. Here's the link to my Amazon wish list." So,
I mean, let's be real. If you are an attractive woman and you are followed by thousands and thousands of Neanderthals online who can't think past where they want to put their dick, wouldn't you put up your Amazon wish list too? Think of all the free stuff you can get with no effort.
That's a fair point. I hope that Phil Labonte sends her a travel-size constitution. I had a fun week this week, and you did as well, Randall, and that we had a visitor. I believe he opened up the show last week, our good friend J. Steve Pumpkin Baby.
J. Steve Pumpkin Baby, oh yeah.
He's otherwise known as the Hessian Hunter. He plays drums in Mayeth as well as Octopede, and he was on tour giving us a visit, playing in our respective areas.
Mm-hmm.
We premiered an Octopede track, I'm going to guess, like, I don't know, 15 episodes ago. So
it was very early. It might have been the first episode. I was actually just revisiting my notes to look at who we were playing with. And it was, I've got them right here. Let's see. Second episode, third episode, something like that. It was early. I can't find it now. But I saw a second ago and I was like, whoa, crazy. It's been that long.
Revisiting the masterworks of our medium.
Oh, yes, indeed. Just, we are exquisite artists, really. Episode 7, May 8th, we premiered them.
Quite.
Yes, exquisite. Speaking of exquisite, though, their live performance was something else. I mean, I assume you did see them, right?
I did. I sat through two of the worst opening acts I think I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, God.
But when they got on stage, it was absolutely worth it. Those guys are like a playpen tipped over, just so much energy everywhere.
Oh yeah, they're wonderful live. The music they're playing really translates exceptionally well to a live medium, because on album, you can do so many tricks in the studio, it's hard to tell what's being played and what's being done digitally later, you know?
Yeah, but and then what they were playing was live, so complex and so fast, and they were just nailing everything.
All the noise effects he makes are just almost 100% perfectly recreated live from the album. It's just absurd. He was showing me at my house later that night another synthesizer he was going to attach to his guitar to play live while he also plays guitar. And just the speed that guy was manipulating the controls and everything. And these are complex controls. I mean, he's got these crazy visualizations. There's like 20 knobs he's turning as well as the keyboard. I couldn't even follow him. And he was just trying to show me what he could do with it. And then, oh, but then all the pedals he's got that he's messing around with. My favorite part was he's got this weird wah pedal that'll do octaves for him.
Yeah.
And what he does is he's tremolo picking 16th notes on this thing. He's only playing one note. But what he does is he's turning the octave wah on and off while alternating between regular picking and pinch harmonics at 16th note speed to make this arpeggio style feel. So it's not just going to like octaves or something. He's hitting four different notes on the same note using this pedal and pinch harmonics. It's really bizarre.
By the way, did Santino show you the disgusting abrasion he has on his thumb from hitting so many pinch harmonics?
Oh yeah, it's black.
Yeah, I think Zach Wilde, eat your heart out. I don't think you've ever played as many pinch harmonics as he does.
Well, Zach, when he hits one, he's really. I was about to say sells it. But that would imply that it's good.
He's milking it.
He milks it, yeah. He milks the crap out of it. It's the equivalent of milking a dead horse, really, is what Zach Wilde does. But Santino does, I don't even notice he's doing it because he's got so many effects going on. And then the drums are just stupid, ridiculous. Steve is ridiculous at drums. And he also plays keys, and he also sings while he does drums.
And he's handsome too.
Oh, very handsome. He had a lot of fun at the Nervosa show. I took him out to another show after they played, and we went thrashing.
Yeah, you went thrashing?
Mm-hmm. There was a band called Suspended from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I feel like the toilet's covered because the album art looks familiar, but holy crap, they were good. They had a super Hellstar-style vibe to them. It sounds like a good mix of like a little bit of death, a lot of Hellstar, and just kind of generic 80s thrash. But, you know, I was expecting just thrash all night because both all the locals were thrash and Nervosa was thrash, obviously. But no, this band comes out the gates with like this super melodic style of 80s speed metal, almost power metal and thrash that was unbelievable. All-girl band too, just like Nervosa. And we talked about Hellstar for a little bit after the show. They were super cool. But Suspended from New Mexico, look out, they are monsters.
Take that to the bank. No, the openers for Octopede here in Austin, one of them was a guy with a guitar and a drum machine who lazily played what was essentially Buddy Holly covers with his own lyrics on him.
No.
He delivered it in such a way that he wants you to know that he could not give a shit if you like it or not. And I did not like it, as a matter of fact. And after that, there's a guy, another one-man project. He put up three Emperor cabs at the edge of the stage and then disappeared behind them and then proceeded to play a set of completely ear-piercing drone.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I was watching a guy who showed up to the bar. He got a beer and just this guy started playing. The guy put his hands on his head and just his head on the table. It was heartbreaking.
this guy just crushed him.
Yeah, so I went outside for a smoke later, and the door guy was talking to the drone artist. He said, "Yeah, man, there was a guy in there. He left his beer half drunk, just stormed out of here and yelled at me. That was terrible." And the drone guy seems super, super pleased by this development.
I mean, I feel like if you're a one-man drone project that's just literally trying to be as loud as possible, then yeah, that's exactly what you want.
Yeah.
All these normies at my concert, they can't handle it. They don't understand it.
And then Octopede got on the stage and then blew everyone's dick clean off because they're really good at what they do. Shocking.
I assume when you said they were terrible, you're going to have some really weird noise acts with art style where you just do random crap. Performance art. I figured you're going to have some noisy performance art bands.
See, I would have preferred that because it would take some effort. You would have to actually do something.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We got some performance art guys around here that I hesitate to talk crap on because everybody seems to like them. But literally, they just do nothing. They lay around and just try to be edgy and weird. And they are very weird. And that's what they're going for, I guess. But it is baffling to me. I don't understand it. I don't hope to. It's fun to see once, and I don't want to see it again.
This is a performance piece called I'm $120,000 in Debt for Art School.
Actually, I don't think anyone went to school, so they're already winning. They're way ahead of these other kids.
Perfect.
Yeah, so they're great. Good for them.
I tell you what, it's time for some more music. What? How about keeping on an old school vibe? Let's play Lightning Cage by Magic Circle. We'll be right back. Hey, you just heard Lightning Cage from Magic Circle. That's from Journey Blind. That came out late last year on 20 Bucks Spin. And, you know, that's really fun, old-school throwback metal in the vein of Black Sabbath. I never really gave this a chance the first time it came around, but I gave it a listen the other day, and that kind of blew me away. It's a lot of fun to listen to. And then I realized, holy crap, the guys in this weird throwback doom band were in like every major straight edge hardcore band in Boston over the last several years. Like Justin Ettore was in the Rival Mob, Boston Strangler, Righteous Jams. Brendan Radigan, the vocalist, was in the Rival Mob, as well as X-Files X and Mind Eraser. Like these guys have serious background in straight edge hardcore, so this is a surprising diversion for them.
It's like, hey, you know, we're tired of singing about politics and being angry and stuff like that, so let's sing about magic stuff.
I think that's a great idea. I think more bands should do that.
You can't always be real. Sometimes you just gotta escape and sing about stuff that doesn't exist and doesn't matter and have fun with it, you know?
Yeah, and I don't want to spoil it because things aren't 100% certain yet, but next week we might have a very special guest on the show who is doing a similar thing with his time, so ooh, you know,
is it me?
Is it you?
Am I the special guest?
You're always my special guest.
It's I'm you.
The 365, you did a post this week on the blog about a topic that everybody seems to love. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, last weekend was the Wacken. I said it right, Wacken, right? I'm not saying it like a dumb American and calling it Wacken.
I've always said Wacken it, so I don't
know. Wacken it, open air, 2016. Arguably, it's the biggest metal festival in the world. Would you guys say that?
Numbers-wise, I think it is the biggest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to say that Chaos and Taos was the best, but, you know, the biggest makes sense.
The biggest, and every year it manages to sell out, sometimes even before the entire lineup is announced, which is incredibly impressive, considering they don't really break even anymore. But
It seems like a terrible idea to put on this giant fest that doesn't break even.
I think it's partially the amount of bands that they try to cram on it, you know, staging, lighting, if they have to rent whatever big field they're in. You know, this year the main headliner was Iron Maiden, and they cannot be cheap.
That's a six-figure guarantee right there, probably.
Yeah. I mean, when you're having bands like that play, I think it's really difficult to make any money. And they're going to sell out tickets, so it's not like an unlimited number of people. And like, I don't know all the details about it, but
it's exorbitantly expensive. But I imagine the sponsor money you can get is pretty high as well, because all the major beer people are going to want to sponsor you just so that they can sell their crappy beer for $10 a pop.
Yeah, they got to get some of that Monster Energy money that's in the U.S.
That's their problem, man. If they just had Monster Energy, it'd be over.
Monster Energy and Bud Light present Wacken.
Wacken it with the Mayhem energy drink.
We've got to get Cybernetic Organism to make a fake commercial for that.
Definitely. Yes. Why don't we get back on topic, 365? You wrote about something else, though, not about Wacken it to Bud Light and Monster Energy.
I did, but with this article where you could read it on toiletofhell.com, I put together a bunch of YouTube clips of full sets from the fest. You can watch all of Iron Maiden, Triptychon, Saxon, Ministry, and a whole bunch of others. And I included one clip towards the bottom. I'm sure most people have heard of this by now. There was a hologram performance involving Ronnie James Dio. Mm-hmm. And it was really weird. And I don't know how I feel about it. Like, on the one hand, it's good for people who never got a chance to see him to like sort of get the live experience. And on the other hand, it's like terrifying that death is now not the end. And that
so this trend in holographic performances started, I suppose it was with Biggie and Tupac.
Yep.
I guess that was at Coachella a few years back, wasn't it? I don't
want to.
I don't really follow the comings and goings of Coachella because I'm
normies,
because I'm not a fucking bro. But this is extending into metal now with Ronnie James Dio. Who thought this was a good idea? Who's really excited about seeing Hologram Dio? I don't quite understand.
Unless anybody else has a strong opinion, I do. I think for something like Vakken, I think for that, that's a perfect time to use a hologram because nobody knew they were going to do it beforehand. It was a big surprise. They already have, you know, a singer because they're a cover band and everything, but I think Vakken is a perfect thing. Now, what I don't like is they're about to go on tour with this hologram now. So, yeah, sorry, singer, you're fired. We got the real Dio now. But that's a terrifying precedent because, you know, one-off appearances at rare cases, whatever, but touring? Okay, imagine 200 years from now taking your kid to see the Fall Out Boy hologram concert where they just, all the members are holograms and it's literally a dude at the computer backstage who sets everything up, hits play, and then goes home with $20,000 to $50,000.
Well, I mean, it takes a. I don't know. I'm not an expert in holograms. That may come as a shock to a lot of listener. But I think it takes a lot of time and effort to program a hologram.
Absolutely.
So, in that way, I mean, yeah, you got to get paid, son. Nobody's just programming Ronnie James Dio in their spare time for funsies.
Well, you haven't asked me about my hobbies.
Fair enough. Somebody may be doing that. I don't know. Who would you want to see if you could see a special hologram performance?
I want to see me after I'm dead.
Really?
No. I was just thinking of the worst answer I could possibly give you.
Jordan, is there anybody that you would want to see?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I think it would be funny to do a Peter Steele typo negative one,
mm-hmm.
but using his Playgirl spread as the hologram the entire
time. Oh, yeah.
Fully nude, fully turgid Peter Steele.
I think Peter Steele would find that really funny.
I think he would.
That's how we honor his memory. Naked Peter Steele, go on tour.
With a raging boner the whole time.
I think I'd like to see Guns N' Roses with a hologram Axl. I mean, I know he's still alive, but, you know, fuck that guy.
It would be so much easier to work with.
Like, he's probably, like, hologram.
It's probably cheaper.
Yeah, hologram Axl isn't going to show up 5 hours late to the show and demand a whole roasted pig before he goes on. or he might. Some programmer might want to get extra authentic with it.
See, if I was the manager behind the hologram for Axl Rose, I would jokingly do that to the staff there. Be like, all right, my hologram doesn't hit play until I get a roast pig.
An entire hologram roasted pig.
I want a hologram roasted pig, not a real one. Don't worry.
With these holograms, do musicians now have to like put in their wills that they don't want this to happen? Like, you know, 20, 30 years from now, their executors of their estates or their grandkids might want to make a quick buck and say, you know, sure, you could use Uncle Tony Iommi and whatever you want.
To quote Frank Reynolds, or to paraphrase rather, when I'm dead, just throw me in the trash. I don't care.
How I feel. Actually, let my cat eat me.
Yeah, if somebody wanted to make a hologram of me blogging furiously, like, I'd be so cool with that. Like, go ahead. Make that hologram look at cat videos every 30 seconds.
Yeah, basically. I mean, if someone can find a way to make money off of my worthless life, then by all means, go nuts. Knock yourself out, buddy.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. But the idea of future generations going to see the Baroque acts of Fall Out Boy in hologram form is a little terrifying. Number one, that's the music that survives for that long. Wouldn't that be terribly disappointing to future generations? That's our big takeaway.
Fall Out Boy?
The good stuff dies early and shit lives forever.
That's fair.
Hey, as Dio himself said, die young.
That's true. Hey, speaking of shit,
uh-oh.
We got a hot take coming?
We already talked about Filibanti.
I don't know if you guys have heard about this website, toilet of hell.org, but
what?
but I've been doing some furious blogging, as is my nature. Death Heaven, everybody's favorite black metal band, true black metal band, recently worked in collaboration with Ray-Ban, the luxury sunglasses manufacturer, to put out a series of ads, and in particular a band profile that I just had to write about. Did you guys get a chance to take a look at this?
Oh, I enjoyed every second of it.
We talk about it all the time. It's impossible, almost impossible, for bands to make any money doing the whole band thing. So I've got to give major, major props to Death Heaven for finding a way to bilk some money out of a bloated luxury manufacturer of sunglasses. I think Ray-Bans look cool. I will never spend $180 on a pair of sunglasses. If you do that, you are a fool. Hot take. But this profile that they did with Ray-Ban was so over the top, obnoxiously pretentious that I find myself at a loss sometimes that I was not reading, in fact, satire of what a hater of the band might think that they were into.
They're almost approaching Liturgy levels of pretension. I wouldn't even put them on the same level yet, because Liturgy is by far the most terrible, simultaneously terrible and pretentious black metal band ever. But this is, it's like you said, they're doing this to make money. They probably don't actually think half of what's in that ad campaign. But if somebody's paying you money to wear their stupid luxury sunglasses and say a bunch of pretentious stuff about yourself, I'll do it for the paycheck, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I will absolutely play along with your stupid profiler. Let me just quote from here. This is the words of the person profiling the band. On a whim, I ask George Clark about opera, and he enthusiastically recounts how he and Death Heaven bassist Stephen Clark were recently discussing Pavarotti. How serene opera can be, even though it's so dramatic.
Do they realize that Pavarotti's just one singer and not, like, you know, a writer or an actual opera?
I
that's like saying, oh, you listen to metal? Yeah, man, I love Metallica. Everybody knows who Pavarotti is, idiots.
I'm just, for some reason, imagine the film Caddyshack. You know, I've often considered joining the clergy.
That's exactly what that is. Don't get me wrong, Pavarotti probably is the best tenor ever, but it's still like saying, oh, Metallica, yeah, I like metal.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty entry-level stuff, guys.
I like the on a whim.
I know that I've mentioned this before. I'm a big fan of the band. I like their music a lot. I think it's awesome. And
poser.
Yeah, fair enough. A lot of people on the internet strongly dislike this band. They think that they are posers or pretentious or whatever. But man, like, they're not doing themselves any favor with this profile.
Nope.
But sorry, I've got a kitten in my lap who's got a face full of paper. He's been eating something.
Oh boy. Yeah, he was being pretty loud earlier today. How was he doing?
He is an actual monster. If you live in Texas and you want a wonderful, cute kitten, please, listener, let me know. I will drive to your door, kitten in hand.
I almost would love to have you drive to my house with a kitten. That would be almost worth it, except for my apartment would kick me out.
Well, how far away are you?
Charlotte to wherever you are, it's at least 1,000 miles, right?
Let's go ahead, Charlotte to Austin, Texas, distance. You are 1,200 miles away exactly.
Oh, that's not too bad.
That's only 17 hours.
Oh, you can do that in a day.
Man, I had no idea North Carolina was so far away.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the middle of the country, and America is, last time I checked, pretty big.
The heartland. I am in the heartland.
Oh, you're in the heartland, all right.
Well, after I upload this this podcast, it takes a while for it to process. I'll go ahead and make that trip and drop off the cat in the meantime.
Oh, sounds good, man. I won't be. I got another band practice right after this radio show, so make sure, you know, you might have to wait a little bit for me to get home.
Okay, that's fine. I'll go to, what is it, Campfire?
What?
Cookout. Cookout, that's the one.
Cookout, yes, the best fast food joint ever.
I hear good things. I want to try it.
Everybody who thinks White Castle is the best is either an idiot or has never had cookout.
Right. Who are these people that like White Castle?
I don't know. I hear people always brag about, man, I just got White Castle. Like, why would you brag about putting actual garbage in your mouth?
That is, boiled hamburgers are a crime against nature.
Like, I get it. Like, they're cute. They're tiny little baby hamburgers. If I wanted that, I can just go get Chili's, and they're actually decent baby hamburgers.
Wait, 365, you're not a White Castle truther, are you?
There's a reason why I've been quiet for the past few minutes.
Have you had cookout?
No.
Okay, well, until you... Well, A, you're still dumb for thinking that's White fine. Castle's good, but...
I grew up with it, so that's the difference.
Okay, we've got just a little time left in the segment. I'm going to give the floor to you. Defend your like of White Castle.
It is the oldest fast food restaurant in the country. It is cheap. It is small bite size. There's no pretension when you're going in there. You know that you're getting garbage food. You know that it's going to make you feel bad. But it is the only fast food restaurant to have a movie, comedy movie, based around.
Two comedy movies, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not Harold and Kumar go to Wendy's. You know, that's not funny. White Castle has its own little following, I guess, you know, loyal following. There isn't really all that many people who are like super psyched to get Arby's.
Yeah, it's because Arby's is disgusting. I would like to make a movie like Clyde and Cletus Go to Whataburger.
I would like to make like a very dark, depressing short, like something that wins awards at those weirdo film festivals. It's literally a guy just going to Arby's and something nihilism and rip off the Twitter account and nihilist Arby's and then end up implying that he kills himself at the end because he went to Arby's.
Well, I think just eating at Arby's is a general sign of clinical depression. Let's go ahead and get into this. We've got more music to play, more stuff for everybody that they need to listen to this one. Here we go. Deathly Fighter by Integrity.
Like
You just heard Deathly Fighter by Integrity. That's Integrity, of course, the legendary hardcore band from Cleveland covering Deathly Fighter. That's a track from the Randy Uchida group, which was not a band that really got a whole lot done. Randy Uchida was most famously known as the guitarist of Japanese crust-punk legends JZM. He put out this kind of strange cock rock project that only put out two tracks, including Deathly Fighter, before he unfortunately died at an early age. This is Integrity. This track is the project of Dom from A389 and Dwid from Integrity, the only longstanding member of that band, coming together to record this track. Dwid is supposedly singing in Japanese the entire time, but you wouldn't know it because he sounds like he does, constantly shouting in the same monotonal voice. Regardless, I think that track's pretty awesome. Those guitar leads are ripping. What do you think?
Dude, yes. I wish I would be a huge hardcore punk fan if more hardcore punk had such huge influence from heavy metal. Just the riffs are solid all the way through. The guitar leads are killing it, and then during the solo, you think it's over, and then it's like, hey, how about we add another guitar? And then, it's just great.
Yes, we need more guitar dynamics in punk, I think, because that's ripping. So, interestingly enough, the only place you can get that on physical media is through Decibel. That would be Decibel Magazine through their Flexidisc series, which is oftentimes so very good that it completely justifies the writing of Neil Jameson on their online editorials. I am a big fan of this track, and I will be ordering it shortly. I recommend that you all do, too. Or you can get it on Bandcamp and digitally. And
what is that sound?
I've just eaten some chips.
You eating fucking chips while we're recording?
Yeah, man. I'm hungry.
Every day you find a new way to disgust me. What chips are these?
They're veggie sticks.
Veggie sticks?
Yeah, 50% less fat than potato chips. And they got sea salt, too.
I mean, sea salt, that's not like a nutritional improvement over regular salt. It's still salt.
It tastes better.
I could hear you being greasy.
Yeah, your keyboard is shiny right now.
No, it's not. I don't touch the keyboard and I'm eating. And since, my hands are free and all I have to do is talk to you guys, I could just sit there and crunch away.
Double fisting veggie chips.
Yeah, I want to see you pet the cat. The cat walking away, shining like in it. Veggie grease.
Or, I could just overfeed him so he gets fat and can't clean himself, and then he's shining with his own grease.
Oh, that's just... Oh, God, I'm so... Ugh.
Dude, veggie sticks, though, man, they rule.
Do they?
Yeah, man, because, they're not healthy, obviously.
No,
it's
obviously.
It's kind of like instead of potato chips, it's veggie sticks. Similar to how smokers went from, smoking to vapes, which, originally were meant to help them stop smoking, but ended up making a bunch of douchebags smoke even more and turning into giant, annoying... I'm trying to think of a good word. Sometimes you just need the perfect word to describe them. I don't know if I'm going to come up with it right now.
So basically,
idiots.
What you're saying is the act of eating veggie chips is akin to vaping.
Yeah, because... the original purpose of vaping, not like being a douchebag who sits there and goes to cloud competitions and joins vape teams.
All I'm taking away from this is that you vape and probably own a fedora.
I don't own a fedora, but I do have some cargo pants.
The audience, the people that listen to the show, really deserve a better show than what we put out. We are probably the laziest metal podcast out there.
You want me to put my potato chips away, or can I keep eating?
It's the end of the show. Nobody's listening to it. It's just... I'm so...
If you're listening to this comment, post Thunderstill. If you're still listening to the show, post Thunderstill in the comments for me.
I'm so disappointed in us. Because, between the three of us, we have, chips. We have so much creativity and skill, I guess, at something or other. I mean, we're smart.
That's
people.
Saying that's a high demand right there.
We all went to college. We know things.
I mean, 365 probably beats me for sure. I'm not gonna assume he beats you either, but I'd bet on him.
But what could we do to make this show not crap fest that it is week to week. Like
play power metal?
No, we've tried that. It didn't go very well. I mean, let's say that we had all the time and the money in the world. How could we actually make this crap fest into a good fest?
365, you go first.
I go first because you have no ideas, right?
No, I have a great idea. I just
you're just full of chips.
Yeah, I want to eat some more chips, so keep going.
Well, I think we have to get a sponsorship from these veggie chips. I think that's the first key.
What brand are those veggie chips?
Oh, hold on, I'll check. It is. Oh, it's non-GMO, by the way. No, none of Hillary Clinton's GMO chemtrails in my organic veggie sticks.
Take that, Monsanto.
God, this is annoying. I'm never buying these again. There's way too much pseudoscience in these chips. I don't know what brand it is. There's like nothing here. Good Health? Oh, Good Health. Enjoy being good. So we'll have to like start pandering to pseudoscience stuff, but you know, if they're paying us, who cares, right?
Well, first we get the chips, then we get the Ray-Bans, then we get the khakis from the Gap, and then we get the ladies. That's how it's done.
Oh, yeah, the Gap. That is absolutely clutch right there.
Yeah, no, I'm into that. I guess. I every time I've ever walked past a Gap, they're trying to sell me a jacket, and it's Texas here, where it's always, always hot. So I don't know how these stores stay open.
Maybe you look cold. Maybe you're so full of mall pretzel that they think that you need a jacket. I don't know.
Yeah, you're making fun of me for eating potato chips or veggie sticks, and you, as a man, just got up off your couch and decided, I need a mall pretzel, and went to the mall to get a pretzel last week.
Look, man, sometimes you have to treat yourself, and
that's what I'm doing right now, and you're making fun of me for it.
But I don't indulge in too much too often, though. It's occasion. It's a sometimes thing, where you're just like, you know, I've had a really tough week. I'm going to brave the crowd at the mall. I need a pretzel.
Well, to be fair, this is also a one-time thing for me. I have not bought snack food, like any snack food for my house in months and months. I can't even remember the last time. Unless somebody who is like staying with me as a band or something specifically requested, I don't. But I do eat a lot of fast food, so I really can't say act like I'm healthy.
Now's the time to get the snack food because it's like closer to the end of August soon, and all the Halloween candy is getting put out now.
But wait. So getting a sponsorship, like, that doesn't make us create a better show. If anything, that's a worse experience for the listener.
It gives us money.
Well, I don't give a fuck about the listener if we got money.
Yeah, that's right. So my idea.
Yeah.
So if we have a limited budget to make the show better.
Yes.
First, we need to treat ourselves and make our own personal lives better. So I'm saying, first, we spend our unlimited budget on, if we can find one that's in a good location with good internet, an island. Buy an island. It's ours. Then buy a billion-dollar yacht. I'm talking all the stops, even a missile defense system just in case somebody decides to attack us. They make them with those now, by the way. Private yachts with missile defense systems in case
Phil Labonte gets angry.
Yeah, and he shoots a missile at us. We can just use our lasers to shoot it down. Dead serious. So we get that. We can cruise the world, do whatever that we want. So we'll be very happy. We'll be in peak emotional condition to make some really cool stuff. Beyond that, I don't really know or care because at that point we have an island and a yacht. So we're set.
That's fair. Yeah, that's hard to argue with that.
I'm sure from there we would go on to greatness.
Yeah, my takeaway here is that we are creatively bankrupt. You know, if we had all the budget and time in the world, I think the first thing I would do is I would want to hire a sidekick character, you know, somebody to be basically my Ed McMahon, to punctuate my jokes.
Don't I do that? Am I not your sidekick?
I mean, you're a pretty good sidekick, but I think Vinnie Paul would be even better, you know?
I can't really argue with that because he would just, hell yeah, brother, to everything you say.
Yeah, like maybe he can even add in an exuberant get her done.
Oh yeah, or much respect, well said.
Yeah, and he could encourage us to get our pulls.
Oh, so many pulls would be gotten with him on the show. I can't argue, man. It hurts my feelings a little bit, but I do think he'd be a better replacement for me.
In addition to that, I think we should get like a synthesizer, like a really top-of-the-line one with all of the sound effects, like all of the sound effects.
I mean, I got one right here. What's wrong with ham horn?
That's pretty good, but like, what if I wanted different kinds of rap air horns, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got sad trombone and whatever movie horn is.
Oh, you've got the...
Oh, it's the every single movie since Hans Zimmer started writing music.
Hey, play the sad trombone for me.
Oh, I got you.
That's pretty good. I like that. We should probably use that more often.
We really should. And then I got another one that it's called Uncle Nick, and I'm frightened by it, so I'm not going to play it right now.
Wait, what is Uncle Nick?
All right, we can play it. I have no idea. Oh. Okay.
I don't know.
I quit.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
The Wilhelm scream. I need that one more
often. Yeah, I apparently have that on my ham horn. I need that one more often.
Well, man,
so, we have the whoopsh too from now on.
That's true.
I need to find an app that'll let me do like a radio button thing, and I can assign sounds to buttons so I can just play them, and then we have that.
What is the sound effect like morning radio DJs have if they tell a slightly off color joke, like a boing?
Oh yeah, there's way too many terrible. What is it, a movie or a YouTube video that's making fun of like the radio DJ sound guy that just hits all the buttons, and it's just this angry guy who everybody thinks is the best except for whoever's there? Oh, I think it's Parks and Rec.
Oh, with Ira and the douche.
Yeah, and that sound guy and their obnoxious sound effects while they make terrible aggressive chokes towards them.
I think that would be, if we could have any show in the world, I think Crazy Ira and the Douche is something to strive for.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody loves them.
Douche Nation.
Vape Nation. We should go after the vape crowd. I bet they have money. They're spending all their money on these stupid parts for the stupid vape machines.
That's true. And nobody can tell if I'm actually vaping on the air or not, you know?
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's lit, fam.
I just ripped a giant cloud of vape juice.
What flavor?
Juggalo Berry.
I want like the worst cereal ever.
Juggalo Berries. Dude, wait, that's it. We just need to make Juggalo Berries a thing and somehow convince ICP to let us have all the money, and then all the Juggalos will start buying it, and then we'll have a lot of money there. Actually, no, they don't have any money.
Well, I mean, they've got plenty of money. ICP must clear several million a year, and they're a self-made business. I think that we need to be taking notes from those guys.
Yeah, so, well, we can paint our faces, but nobody will see us.
True. Also, I think that, like, Mushroom Head and Slipknot and all of those other crappy new metal bands have the lockdown on that stuff.
That's still my favorite part of Carolina Rebellion, is seeing actual human beings, adult humans, wearing horror movie masks. Like, not like Jason or Freddy or something masks, but just basically like rip-off Slipknot masks and just stupid edgelord stuff and thinking, this is a good idea, I should go like this.
Stockhausen, he's regaled us from his tales on the road with his band Discordia several times over the years, and I think my favorite is when he gets stuck playing with a new metal band in the middle of the country.
Right.
Because it's basically Eastern Europe over there, and it's going to be 20 years until they find out that new metal doesn't exist anymore.
I'm surprised by like the random Eastern European bands that somehow are up to date and make good stuff instead of trying to just ape whatever happened 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, wait, who?
I don't know, because I don't pay attention that much. Because I listen to, like, new albums constantly, and I listen to them once, and I don't listen to them again unless I really liked them. So, I'll see, oh, cool, they're from Romania, cool. Like, I could find this one Russian power metal band, because they did a pretty decent cover of Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue. But the problem finding them is their name is in Russian, so it's a little hard to Google them.
Well, yeah, you don't know Cyrillic? Cyrillic, what the hell is?
Cyrillic.
Cyrillic?
I do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, there you go. 365 right. Can help you out.
I don't even know what
they're called.
Juggalo Berry, that's their name.
Juggalo Berries. All right, that's our business plan. We're going to make Juggalo Berries, get rich, buy our island, buy our yacht, get sponsorships from Gap for cargo pants and khakis and maybe jackets. And then this radio show will be much improved. So let's have that all done by next week, guys.
Sounds good. We've reached that point in the show where we've fulfilled our time allotment. Nobody is listening anymore. What do you want to say that nobody will ever hear?
Play Riot Thundersteel.
That's not terribly creative, but okay.
365.
Follow us on Twitter at Toilet of Hell, at 365 Days of Horror, at Joe Thrash and Kill, at The Randall Thor, and enjoy your Juggalo Berry cereal.
Thank you.
Look at him actually being productive.
This guy, right? I've got one last track to play for everybody. This one was a submission that I got in my inbox this week, and I think it's pretty damn good. This is riffy.
It rules.
Yeah, this is riffy hardcore that I think everybody can get behind. Here we go. This is Blindfold from North Woods. I'm Joe Thrash and Kill. With me, as always, Randall Thor and 365 Days of Horror. This has been the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. We'll see you next week.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.